God has been speaking to me, church, about us and our moving forward. And a lot of stuff we went through in 2019 was to prepare us for moving forward. We spoke, we planted seeds, and I was looking up the seeds. It's a process of six processes in order for a seed to germinate. And the first process for a seed to germinate, to begin to produce the harvest, is the rain. And I believe the only way that God can water your heart is with your tears. He can't use the rain coming down from the sky. He uses your own water that he has purified and that he has consecrated by some of the things happening in your life. It's that pain sometimes that God uses, the crucible times, to bring the best out in us. I know we upset, we broken, we messed up, we think we about to lose it, but God is just bringing us together. So he spoke to me about us moving forward. I don't know why. We had all type of things happening. We've lost good people. People have left. We've left things. And yet God was working it all out for our good. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love God, but then it goes on to say those that are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose? That we have to decide. But in order to move forward, we got to let some stuff go. The stuff that held us down, that has held us back, that has gotten us distracted and out of our place in a lot of cases. These places should be filled up. But stuff happened to people, good people, and it took them out of their place. But they didn't understand that God was using those things so that he can fill you with something else. See, sometimes stuff happens to bring out of you what's in you that you don't know is in you. But once you see it, then you can deal with it. But if you hit your toe and you cuss, you know what's in you. Some people say, oops, I didn't mean that. You meant it because it's what's inside of you. And it's not God's problem, it's your problem, because he didn't put it in you by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to be speaking today about moving forward. And that wasn't the intro. I'm just on fire. Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you because you made a decision to do something in a people who didn't even deserve it. You decided to move by your Spirit in a people who didn't deserve it. You decided to give your Son to give his life for a people who didn't deserve it. And in 2 Corinthians 7:14, your word says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, God, if we would turn. And you said your people. So God, we are full in the church of wicked ways. But you said in your word, if we would turn, that you would hear us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today that we make a decision to turn, because that's the only way that you would hear us. And then you said that you would forgive our sins and that you would heal our land. So Father, that's the only prayer that we have this morning, is that we make a decision to turn from every wicked way so that you would hear us in heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. So, Father, we make a decree today that you would forgive us of our sins. And thereby, we turn from every wicked way. Father, we talk about sin. And we always concentrating on what somebody does that's wrong. But scripture says everything that you know to do right and that you don't do is sin. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by turning from our wicked way, we would turn to do what is right. And what is right would be not how we feel or what we think. But we would do what the Word of God says is right by you in every situation. And that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, church. I'm excited about what God has decided to do in this new year. He's bringing us out of the things of old and bringing us into a new thing. But it's ironic that you can't go into the new thing without letting go the old thing. See, God can bring you in, but you can't go in if you got too much to carry. See, some of you got too much old baggage of hurt, of betrayal, of despair, of brokenness. People have hurt you and done things that you don't even talk about. We going through stuff that we can't even admit to one another. All to prepare us for where we're going. But God said everybody not going. Only those who decide to let go. When you're going in a direction, let's just speak about marriage. If you married, you husband and wife, you are one. If you going that way and she going that way, y'all not going anywhere. And that's how we do with life sometimes. We determined to go this way, but stuff got us turned that way. See, if the husband going this way and the wife going that way, they just pull it. But the Bible said, how can two go together, walk together, lest they agree? You got to agree to decide which way you're going. And whichever way you decide to go, you got to go together. If you pushing her that way and you pushing him that way, ain't neither of you going with the Lord. We got to stop, church, doing our own thing, our own way, but claiming to be of God. The world is looking at us and making a decision that they don't even want God. And that's a problem, because we are the people of God on the earth realm. God is working through us. He can't work from you one moment and the devil using you in the other moment. People don't know who you are. All they know is they don't need you or your God. But this thing has been in my spirit. I don't know where Tia sang this song. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oftentimes, we're looking for that God. But God is looking for us. As we move forward out of the year of 2019, some of us ought to be jumping and shouting right now because it's finally over. Some of you face things that cause you to get distracted, and you somehow never got refocused. Some of you were overcome by situations that knocked you out of your place. Whether it was in the church, in the home, or on your job, you was knocked out of place. And some of you spent so much time going back and forth, and you never got out of the spiral that seems to never end. Some of you have had circumstances that shook you and you never seem to get your footing the way it was planned. You ever know how you make a decision to do something and somehow you don't get there the way that you thought you was going to get there? I was listening to a pastor one day. He said his prayer is that when he make a decision to do something, he does it the way he decided to do it and end where he was supposed to end. Because we get distracted and caught up a lot of times. Even though we decide to go there, we end up over here. And even if we get there, we don't go the way God wanted us to get there. We ended up falling in there because we so messed up. So after falling here and falling there and God picking us up here and there, finally we fall over the finish line. We didn't run across the finish line. We fell. Fell into the arms of God because we were so messed up. Come on, Holy Ghost. Some of you waited on someone to change, but ended up just getting used and wasting your time. Some of you spent limitless time waiting for a commitment that never happened. There were good times and bad times and times that some of us want to just forget. You even made changes. You just didn't quite get to where you thought you would be because of the time that you invested. Some of you may even feel like you were ran ragged by other people that never appreciated what you did or the time that you surrendered. Because you didn't have to do it. You surrendered yourself over to somebody. And they didn't even appreciate it. A lot of young folk nowadays, they don't appreciate nothing that you do for them. They don't know how to say thank you. And if you get one out of them, it's almost killing them to give it to you. The worst thing is that grown folks the same way. You do stuff for grown folk and you look to hear something and you don't hear it. Some grown folk don't even know how to say they're sorry. They will never ask you to forgive them for anything that they've done. But that's in the church. I'm not talking about the world. They the world. God is dealing with us. But we're glad that it's finally over. But as we move on to 2020, I just got to shout and say, you made it. With all that you went through, you're still standing. You have your health, your strength, and you kept moving. With every negative word that was spoken over you, God's mercy still kept you. And they thought you were going to end up the wrong way. You stumbled up into the right way. That ought to make you shout right there. God is so amazing that with everything that you went through, he didn't let it kill you. Sometimes you wake up, you hurting a little bit in the morning, your feet, your back, your neck. When you get to a certain age, everything hurts. But you get up and you thank God that it hurt. Because somebody got up and didn't feel nothing. Somebody just went and kept going like this and nothing happened. And they didn't feel nothing. But because you got up and your back said, oh, I'm still here. You ought to be thanking God that you can still do it. Sometimes I look at Mother Nicholas. You know, she tall. So she got that walker thing that hold her upright. And she's slow getting out the car. They make sure she got a park. She come into church, take a little while to get here. She take her time getting to that chair. But at her age, she's still moving, still giving glory to God. And some of us ain't even a third of our age, and we're still complaining every day that we get up. And yet we, the church, but church, we got to move forward. But church, if you're still here, it's because it made you stronger. What you could not endure in the beginning, you conquered. You had to conquer to make it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have this vessel, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Church, you got a treasure in you that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. But it's got to come out of the excellency of that power. Too often, church, we trying to make the spirit, and it ain't even God. It's our spirit. But it goes on to say, we are hard pressed on every side. You the church, and you got stuff coming against you. But it goes on to say, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in your body. If you look at that scripture, it says, in order for the power of God to be manifested in you, your body has to be dying. The problem with us, church, is we aren't dying. Every time somebody poke you the wrong way or say the wrong thing, you got the wrong response because you're still alive. The only way you get into the power is that you die. That's the only way. Not dying physically, but you got to die to yourself, to what you want. Sometimes you got to die to the desire to be someplace else when you should be here. Some of y'all get that in a minute. But carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he did communion, he was dying to himself, saying, I got to do this for you. Church, we need to learn how to do that. We need to die to ourselves so that we can live in Christ. And you wonder why the church don't have the power that it should have, because you don't have the power that God gave you. You aren't dying, so he can't pour it into you because you're so full of everything else. You're so full of the world, you look just like them. You sit down in a bar next to them, they can't tell you a Christian. When you go outside and that little area where everybody's smoking, they ain't talking about what church they go to. They're talking about you got another cigarette. But you got to be careful of what you pouring into yourself. I have a few things going on in my body that happened to me because of what I put in me. God didn't put them in me. The Holy Spirit didn't have them. I put them into me. See, sometimes we help the devil get rid of us by what we do. Nobody sets you down to the table and said, put that in there. You put that in there. We helping the devil commit. We're committing suicide ourselves, by ourselves. But we do it willingly because we aren't dead. We aren't dead to ourselves and our desires, and we aren't in Christ. Because if my body was in Christ, as soon as that craving would come, I would tell it to shut up. That cake, that good fried chicken, and all that good stuff. But I ain't learned how to say no, but this year, I'm dying. Because I'm moving forward. Anybody moving, church? Anybody got anything in your life that you got to die to? You got to die to it today. Because you can't move forward with it. God can't pour something into you when you already full. And I ain't even got off the first page. Always dying about the body of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in your body. The life of Jesus will never be manifested in your body until you die. So as long as you still in charge of you, God can't be manifested in you. See, a lot of times we fake God, showing him up. But see, God is a gentleman. He's not going to move you aside so he can have his move. He's going to let you do what you got to do. And you're going to go out of here the same way you came in here. But if God ever has a move in you, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You know, we have this thing where we get behind people when they, because we don't want them to fall. If the Holy Ghost ever knocked you over, you could fall 10 feet and you wouldn't be hurt. I was at a church one time when I was in Pennsylvania. I don't know, one of these powerful men of God that they speak about. They had us lined up all the way across the aisle. We was going up the aisle, down the aisle, bound, and we went down, and they even started using the classrooms in the church, just lining folk up. For all him to do was run past and just touch people and keep moving. But you know what they realized? They couldn't keep up with him. He was running so fast, hitting folk. Folk was falling. The man stood in front of me and hit me, and folks were standing like this, and as soon as they walk away, bam, I fell just like a rock. You know what? The Holy Ghost had me. I didn't even know I had failed. Somebody was grabbing my arm. I didn't know what in the world was going on. But see, that's how God moved. But see, we standing out here faking stuff, trying to hold folk. If God really hit you, you would bust that flow open, and you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't be worried about your wig being twisted all up. You wouldn't worry about crying. We're too pretty in the church. We're too pretty in the church. You come to church just like you go to club. You dress the same way. They got this new thing now where they down church so people would feel comfortable. You was in the church wearing the suit, but so that everybody feel cool, now you dress like your son. And you wonder why folk ain't following you, why you got to get on the internet to get an audience. Because you done left the spirit. Amen. Come on, Holy Ghost. Amen. Your circumstances may not have anything to do with you. It was all about getting to the treasure. The enemy wants to get to your treasure, the Holy Ghost. And what will it take for you to quench the spirit? Or to walk away from the vision? Or to throw in the towel? Or some of us just quit. Oh, I ain't doing that no more. Why? Don't worry about it. That ain't the Holy Ghost. And what are you doing with the Spirit? Somebody just stole your treasure. You walking around here still speaking in tongues, but you done walked off the job. The devil is a liar. And he's a liar in you. Let me tell you something, church. God has not changed his mind about you. He's still going to do what he promised. Sometimes God has to build in us in order for us to handle what he expects us to hold. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God got to build you up on the inside to handle what he wants you to hold. And sometimes the only way he can build you is to first break you down. Because you ain't been built right in the first place. You know, we have this thing now where we want people to recommit and, give their heart back to the Lord. Do you know, I don't think recommit is in the Bible. I mean, not in the Bible, but in the dictionary. Because there's no such thing. They never recommit a street to somebody that was committed to somebody before. And you can't recommit if you wasn't committed in the first place. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. But prospering comes after preparation. See, sometimes we want God to do something before we get ready for him to do it. We ready now, but he's saying, you ain't ready for me to pull nothing in there. All that garbage. If you ever, went to one of them elementary schools where, they had the outside water fountain and people got a straw in there, they got a rock in there, they doing everything they do to try to make the water come up because it's too low. So you go in there and they got a straw stuck in there. And you up there, we was kids, we ain't know no better. It's a straw stuck in the water fountain. And we in there with our lips on the straw. But guess what? Ain't none of us died. And you talking about, somebody touched my cup, I don't want that. Doing communion. Or somebody accidentally bumped that cup, I don't want that one. We was drinking out of it. We got about 30 kids standing there, everybody waiting for somebody to get out of line for them to put their lips on that straw. And it's a rock in it at the bottom holding it in place. And guess what? You still here filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's going on. Whether we ain't learned something or whether we... Some things we relearning, but we learning the wrong way. But God wants to prepare you for what he wants to do in your life. And some of that preparing is what happened in 2019. And some of y'all checked out because of what was happening. And because you checked out, you ain't even ready for 2020. Because you checked out during the preparation. God couldn't even get you ready. You falling down, broke up, and, you know, you can't even take it. Because, I mean, you know, you hurt. I used to cry like that, too. But you know what? I learned to cry until I got in the spirit. So I would cry, and then it would get into crying out. Then it would get into praying in the spirit. An old seasoned man talked to me one day. He said, man, I cry too, but I get in the shower. And ever since that day, man, when something's going on, I can get in the shower and I can get less, you know, I ain't got to worry about nobody or no thing. And I can just cut loose. But see, men don't cry no more. They're too hard. God can't mold them because you're not like clay. You got to put some water in clay when you're shaping it. So in order for God to do something, sometimes he got to water you. And he don't turn in the faucet and pour water on you. He turn your life up and the water comes out your eyes and runs down into your soul. And that's how God do it. God uses life, real things happening to you, to get inside your heart. And when life happens, for out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speak. See, all somebody got to do to know what's inside of you is let something happen. Y'all know, folk, I wish they would. You know how you get, oh, she'll do her, but she ain't going to do me. You already ready. They ain't even thought about talking about you. You already ready. I wish you would. You already decided that you'd rather roll your sleeves up than to pray in the spirit. And you wonder why you send your kids to school and they already windmilling. Because they've been watching you and daddy. So they already know as soon as somebody say something that you don't like or do something you don't do, you don't talk about it. I don't talk about it. I do my work. Yeah, you keep on talking. I got some work for you. That's how you get. I work. I don't talk. And that's how they do nowadays. You wonder where they get it from. They get it from watching us. And you wonder where they got that tongue from because you thought they were asleep. That's where they got that other tongue when you was talking to the person in the room with you when you thought they were asleep. And you wonder why they're so good at it, because they hear it so often. The precious oil only flows from the olives, which can handle the squeeze. Church, when life squeezes you, God is only trying to get the oil in the vessel from the dying to run out of you. But see, some of us can't handle being squeezed. Brother Earl don't about to squeeze. He said, hey, if it don't squeeze right, I don't want it. But see, some people don't squeeze right. Because when you squeeze them, the wrong thing come out of them. As much as you want them, you realize the wrong thing keep coming out of them. As much as you want it to work, the wrong thing keep coming out of them. And all you keep telling yourself, oh, I'm going to keep praying for them. You keep praying. He'll come to church just because you give him some. And as soon as you marry him, guess what? He'll make functions. And after a few years, he won't even do that. All because you prayed for him. Oh, he was the one. So you prayed. You better stop praying for him and start praying that he come to know the Lord. Because if he ain't treating the Lord right, he ain't gonna never treat you right. If he can't get up and go to church when you ain't going, you better leave him alone. As soon as he gets saved, leave him alone. You drag him right out to church with your thing before he even get any footing. Soon as you man show up in the church, the first thing they do is hog him up. And you wonder why he ain't there but a couple of months before he leaves. She done tore his heart all up. He ain't got enough spirit in him to handle it. Where'd that come from? Sometimes we eliminate ourselves from the process of the anointing, of the blessing, and of the opportunity and the favor of God, just how we operate during the squeeze. As soon as life starts to squeeze you, you should be standing firm and being built up in the Holy Ghost and speaking to your situation. The Bible says that we ought to be able to speak to the mountain. That's what Jesus said. And the mountain will be moved. How you going to speak to the mountain when the Holy Ghost can't even speak to you? We walk around casting out demons and devil out of folk. And we walk around talking like the devil in us. When don't nobody hear it. Who are you when nobody's watching? And what do you do when nobody see you? See, some of us live in two different lives. I used to do that. When I was young, they thought I was the perfect young man. They didn't know what I did when my mama wasn't watching. Because I was two different people, living two different lives. But sooner or later, them lives collide. And when they collide, I became something that I didn't even thought I'd be. Sometimes we become what we hate. You talk about folks because of who they are. And after a while, you become that same person. But you don't see it in yourself. You only see it in them. God, I'm just getting off the first sheet. But church, let me tell you, because you're still here, that says when things got tough, you were tough enough to keep going. And because you made it through by the grace of God, you still got to make a decision. You got to decide whether you're moving forward into 2020 or whether you're going to be still dragging on to 2019. Because, see, you can go into 2020, but you'll be going real slow and real messed up. And you wondering why life ain't changing? You wondering why you speaking to mountains and nothing's happened? Because the mountain is in you. And you ain't spoke to that mountain. The devil is saying, how you going to tell me anything when you saying it in the name of a God that you don't even listen to? So where you get that power from? Tell me something else. You were tough enough to keep going. In 1 Peter 5:10 it says, but may the grace of God who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect. Well, really he's saying, after you have suffered a while, I will perfect. See, there's this thing that people say, well, ain't no, we say that when we messing up, church. Ain't nobody perfect. No, you're not perfect because everybody has made a mistake before. But see, God is perfecting you not to do those things anymore. That's the lie of the enemy. That's the first thing people say when they done something wrong when they're a Christian. Well, ain't nobody perfect. I had a friend. Now, here I am, you know, a young man trying to go to church, trying to do the right thing. And every time he would call me and we would hang out, as soon as I would jump in the car before we go out and get high and get all crazy, the first thing he would say, well, you know ain't nobody perfect. Brother Teasley, that's how I started my night, saying amen to somebody saying ain't nobody perfect. After that man passed that thing, we just started rolling. But we started the night with the word, but we didn't even understand it. We was already breaking the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Not even realizing it. And at the end of the night, the next morning, I felt my pillow with tears because of what I'd done the night before. That I said I wasn't going to do again. That I did again. Crying out to a God that I put left in the house before I left out. As soon as I jumped in the car, here come God. Oh, where you going? Watch, Abel Rupert to it. I'm pushing him back out the car because we're about to do something. Ain't nobody perfect. That's the biggest lie that the enemy has given to the church. And we use it. Steve Harvey came out with this thing, God ain't through with me yet. And the folks that weren't intelligent enough in the church to get it, used that as an excuse. Hey, you listening to somebody in the world tell the church how to be the church. Well, God ain't through with me yet. He ain't going to never be through with you because you don't want him to be through with you. You saying, I ain't going to change until I get ready to change. And when I change, I'm changing at the rate that I want to change. And then you blaming it on God. Well, God ain't through with me yet. But you only say that after you do something that you want to do. But that's how we do it. But it says, but may the grace of all, by the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And it said, after you have suffered a little while. He's talking to the church. See, some of us, in order for us to grow up in the spirit, we got to suffer a little while in order for God to perfect us. In order for him to get that garbage out of you, you got to suffer. You got to suffer enough for you to want it out. All them years of me doing drugs and me enjoying it, God forgive me, I'm rolling. But after a while of crying and hurting, of my own suffering, then God was able to work the process of perfecting me. But he couldn't do it until I suffered enough to not like it anymore. Because as long as it was a desire of my flesh. See, sometimes you got to ask God, God, you got to help me to die. Because I got desires. Oh, God, I got some desires. But if you don't help me or make me die, I won't fulfill them desires. And all those desires come from my flesh. You got to be honest with God. See, and when you say that, guess what? He may have to suffer you for a little while. Yeah, that's right. And then he goes on to say, then it says, after you have suffered a while, he perfect us or perfects us. Then it says he establishes you. What he does when he establishes you is he sets you up on a firm, permanent basis. See, sometimes you got a firm foundation until something happens. Then all of a sudden the road get rocky. You in and you out, you up and you down. You don't know which direction you're going. And your family don't know which direction you're going when you wake up. But see, God got to establish you. When you establish, you firm. I don't care what happened. I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm not going to be absent. Just because the world, you know, when you're at work and everybody's sitting there at the table and you feel like you're going to say your grace and then all of a sudden somebody sitting there that you got a problem with, and you don't even say nothing. You don't say grace because you got that thing working in you. So you just go on like you don't say grace, even though you're saved. So you see, God got to establish you so that even though you want to do wrong, he's already established you in doing right. You do right because it's the thing to do and not because you feel like it. As long as you're doing stuff because you feel like it, you still belong to the devil. Because you connected to your flesh. But when you die, no longer will the devil have control over you. See, sometimes you do stuff that you don't even like because it controls you. You didn't want to call that person a name. They ain't all that bad. You just ain't like what they said. So what they said control you. How something outside of you control you when you feel with the Holy Spirit? Because you ain't full. That's what happened. And then he says to strengthen. I looked up strengthen. Strengthen means to build up, to nourish, to reinforce, and to make stronger. So in order for God to make you stronger, he got to take some of that old ugly strength off you to give you that new power. And sometimes we don't want that power. We don't want what God is doing in our life to save our life. Sometimes all we want is what we want. She fine enough for you to stay out of church, you'll stay out of church. And nobody can't tell you nothing because you grown. But you got to learn how to let God establish you. You got to let God reinforce you. You got to let him build you up and make you stronger. And then it says to settle you. I looked up, settle means to resolve. To clear up, to fix, to work out, to rectify, to reconcile. Or to bring something in you to an end. How about for God to settle you? He's got to bring some things in you that you love to an end. That right there. He's got to suffer you, perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. You got to go to all that to get to the place where God wants you to get to. And he going to do all that by what he puts you through or what the devil puts you through and he allows. See, sometimes when the devil doing stuff in you, it ain't got nothing to do with what you did. He's doing it only because you belong to God. And see, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father saying, oh, you can do it. Oh, I know you can handle that. And he's interceding. But he ain't got to intercede for nobody that's giving up. He only got to give you strength because he realizes you're getting weak. But if you just already quit, he can't even tell you nothing. If he tell you something, it ain't going to matter because you done already left the group. And that's how we do, church. No, I don't like her. I can't be involved in this. No, I can't deal with him. No. No, he smoked. I don't want to work with him. Church, we got to let God do what he's doing in order to make us. See, some of us went through all the things we went through in 2019 to prepare us to move forward into 2020. See, some of those things was just to build you, to lift you, to strengthen in you, to handle some things. See, some of you now be able to speak to a mountain because you spoke to a mountain before and the mountain laughed. But see, God has strengthened you enough now where you speak to the mountain and the mountain tremble because God has settled you. That's the last process, to settle you. Oh, God, settle me. But see, you can't ask God to settle you if he still is perfecting you. You better know where you are because you might be asking for something that is more than where you're at. If God is still perfecting you and then you asking him to settle you, how you going to get to the end before you even get through the beginning? The first thing that happened to you knocked you out. Now, how all of a sudden you asking for all of that? And we talk about things happening. See, some things just happen. But see, you ain't Job. God ain't testing you that much. Because if it was Job, first it was the cattle, then the family, then the whole, everything. See, if all you had was an accident, you falling all out. You lost one job. Job lost everything. You can't handle losing everything. But you giving up because it ain't working. You putting the kids out. They don't know how to act. Instead of laying hands on them. Some of y'all get that in a minute. If you can't lay hands on them, let the jailer lay hands on them. But one way or another, he'll hear God. Because when you hear that cling, cling, that'll do something to you. I tell you that right now. That'll change you right there. You ain't got no gun. You ain't got no baseball bat, brother. You just be able to do it. Because they're going to be looking for you. Trust me. But we get to the point where I don't want this no more. They don't act like I want them to act, so we don't want it. If you don't want that, how you want the blessing? You cursing what God gave you, but you want the blessing. If that's the blessing that you want, I don't want you. You cursing stuff, but you looking for the blessing. You looking for the promise, but you haven't done what it takes to get the promise. So if God gives you the promise, then the world think the promise belongs to them too because they ain't done it either. How you going to act like the world, but then when they start talking about the promise, you start talking about amen. The devil is a liar. All things work together for those who love God. And that's all we say. But we don't say, but we called according to his purpose. All we say is those that love God. So the world going around saying it. All things going to work to the good for me because I love God. We say that so much now, the world's saying it. Huh. If you get saved enough, sometimes you walk around the world and they'll wish you would leave because they don't want you to mess up God blessing them. They don't want the church around them. Get around folks sometimes. I get around saved folk and they cuss. Oh, excuse me. We both the church, but you saying excuse me to me. Why? Because you realize I'm consecrated. I think I'm holy anyway, but you know, we all moving in that process. But you get around other saints, y'all both saved, but they cussing and they telling you, excuse me. Why? Because they recognize something in you. But when they start flying off the mouth here and there, and ain't no excuse me, ain't no nothing, because they say, hey, he just like me. We both the same. You may go someplace on Sunday, but where you at on Monday and Friday? That's what the world is saying. Don't tell me that stuff. But God wants to reconcile or bring something to an end in you. How he going to bring it to an end if you got out of the process? That's how we do, church. When stuff get hard, the first thing we do is quit. Saints of old used to pray their way through. You used to come to the altar. Them old mothers would lay hand on you. You talking about getting in the spirit. They had this thing they called tarrying. You don't know what you've done till you get one of their mothers tarrying over you. Because they done already made a decision that whatever's in you is coming out before they stop. They got a trash can beside them and a cloth. Because you're going to be throwing that thing up. And they're going to be there. And they've already decided if it takes all night, you ain't going nowhere. And they ain't going nowhere until you get free. We got this thing now where we, And then we debate whether or not we going to the altar. Somebody had make an altar call. We sitting there thinking. They tell you to bow your head so that you can stop thinking about the person next to you. But really, if they didn't tell you to bow your head, you ought to have your hand up already trying to get it. But see, they have this thing now where they turn the lights off in praise and worship because they know you used to being in the club. So they feel like you're freer in darkness. I don't know about you, but I'm free in darkness. So they got this thing now where they turn the light off during the worship in the church. Some of them do the whole service in darkness. Why? Because they felt like you're freer. Because you felt like you're in darkness. If you operate better in darkness than you in the light, you're serving the wrong God. Because God said he is the God of the light. Amen. He ain't no God of darkness. He's a way maker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. Where's your light? You go in darkness and it's still dark. Where is your light? The light's supposed to be in you. If God can't consecrate you, he can't put no light in you. And you got to know how to use your light. Your light is not just for your advantage. It's for the advantage of the kingdom. Some people go in, they looking for stuff just because they part of the kingdom. All of a sudden, like you some super saint. The devil is a liar. We are all the same. God is still perfecting all of us. He's consecrating all of us. And we need it. I'm going to keep moving, but I'm still on page 2. We're going to see where we get to, but God is being God, church. Anybody ready to move forward? We got to move forward as a church. In the Bible, it says in John 15:5-10, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me. See, church, abiding is you resting in something. See, the problem with you is you ain't resting in God. You resting in yourself. See, when you rest in God, then the Holy Ghost can lead you wherever he needs you to go. And he can lead you when he wants you to go. Because I wasn't even expecting to be here this morning. I was told something else was happening. And then I got a text the next day and said, no, I need you to do it. But see, God said, I'm moving you forward. Amen. See, when God is moving you forward, it ain't got nothing to do with you. He's moving you. You just got to be ready. Amen. I was at a service one time. This guy was a great prophet, a friend of mine. And he was praying. He said, Minister Jeff, that's what everybody always called me forever. And he said, God is going to use you. You better get ready. And then he went to walk away. And then he turned it back and said, no, be ready. Okay. That was the difference. Getting ready told me I had time to prepare. But God turned him right around and said, no, be ready. So you better get ready today for what I've called you to do. You ain't got 2 weeks to get ready. You know how folks, well, I'm getting saved on Sunday, so they doing everything they can do during that week to get it out. You ain't got to wait till you get to church to give your heart to the Lord. You can do it in your bedroom tonight. And if you don't think you've done it right, then you do it Sunday morning. But don't wait for Sunday morning to give your heart to the Lord. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ come back, somebody going to be left waiting for an opportunity to happen that should have already happened in you. Oh, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. What were you here for? Man, I'm going to get this in. Where you going tonight, girl? I got to get that in because I got to get that up too. You trying to get it all in before you get saved. But I'm going to tell you, don't wait till you get to church. You sir, you better give your heart to the Lord. You know, it ain't no special, old spiritual thing. You, Lord, I've messed up. I've been messing up for years. I just need you to come into my heart. I'm giving my life to you. Give me direction. Come on, Jesus. Live through me. That's all it is. You ain't got to have nothing special and mystical. You just got to want it. And see, it's according to your faith that God moves. See, sometimes you can't get it because you don't have the faith for it. You're looking for the faith to move mountains. You ain't got faith enough to stop cussing. But you got to be able to do what God wants you to do when he's ready to do it. But I'm going to miss a lot of this because, trust me, church, we don't even have time for this. But I do want to say what God wants me to say because I want to honor him because it's all about him and not about me. We want to make sure because we know that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And sometimes you worried about what's going on in your life. That's because the thief came. It ain't your girlfriend, it ain't your boyfriend, even though you blame it on them. That's the thief. See, sometimes you say when the word of God said when the enemy is caught, that he must return sevenfold. See, he ain't got to return because you ain't caught him. You blaming it on your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your cousin. You blame it on everybody else. You ain't caught the enemy. You can't even call it the enemy. You calling it somebody else. But we got to know that I had a stroke. I had two strokes. And I was listening to something the other day. And the guy said that medically, if you have a stroke, if you don't get to medical attention within 2 hours, that you have the possibility that you could be paralyzed or have a paralysis or something that you can't. You see people walk around with their arm and all these type of things because they weren't caught within 2 hours. I went to the doctor because I was stumbling around. I thought it was because I had Bell's palsy, so my hearing was gone. They couldn't figure that out. And so I was stumbling because I didn't have no balance. I thought it was from the Bell's palsy. It turned out I had two strokes. And it was 2.5 weeks later before somebody told me that I had two strokes. The doctor said you had one 15 days ago or you had one 30 days ago. It was 2.5 weeks later. 2 hours was way out the door. But God said no. The enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Had he done what he tried to do, Pastor Paul would have been preaching my funeral. But God said no. We walking around here talking about what the stuff, the devil can't do nothing that God don't let him do. And if God let him do it, to the grace of God, let him do it. But as long as he can't kill me, I'm going to keep moving. I never complained about what I couldn't do. I did everything. Matter of fact, the first day I came down with Bell's palsy, my face shrunk on one side, it was doing communion. I was up here praying. And I went to sit down. Pastor Paul was like, sit over here, man. That's Christina. Somebody over there, you know what's going on? You just stay right there. Don't you get back up. He didn't know what was going on. I came down with Bell's palsy right here in the middle of the service. Lost the muscle movement in my face. Then my hearing went in on the right side. My wife be there talking into my ear. I had to turn all the way around like this. Just to hear what she was saying. Ah, you know what I said? God, if this how I'm going into heaven, this how I'm going, but I'm going to still be serving. You know what? I went back to, I ain't even going to tell you the medical stuff I went through, but ended up the doctor came to me after the one day and after she said the medicine, nothing that they knew known to medicine worked, she came to me and said, you must have a lot of people praying for you. After they had already said, because what they had known to do was two things and them didn't work, I went through both of those processes. She was like, you done. And then all of a sudden, she came in one time, a couple of months later, my hearing was back. I don't even know if she was a Christian or not, but you know how doctors are. She said, you must have had a lot of people praying for you. Who heard that at the doctors? She said, because your hearing came back at you. Everything that I know to do, medically, I've done. And it didn't work. Here it is a couple months later, God done something I don't even understand. That's the power of God. When God say no. But see, I said, God, if this how I'm going into heaven, this how I'm going. I had my mind made up. I wasn't going to be sitting back saying, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm doing everything I could do without excuse. And God said, oh my God, that's faith. I need him. And that's how we need to be, church. Stop complaining and talking about what we can't do. The paralysis that I was supposed to have if I didn't get treated in 2 hours. I was 2 weeks later. I'm still moving. And if God don't come back and get me, I'm going to still be here. But a lot of that came from what I was putting in me. What I, you know, my delicacies, what I love. My wife was, don't eat that, don't eat that. I wouldn't listen to my wife. What man listens to his wife? A saved man. You need to be listening to somebody telling you the truth. Some of y'all to get that in a minute. But I was helping the devil to kill me. Do you know it's more power in the ground than ever? Every time power dropped in the ground, it dropped next to some other power of somebody else who was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and died early committing suicide with their own hands. But church, I'm going forward. Anybody else going forward in 2020? We've got to learn to die. Had I died to myself a long time ago and come along alive in Christ, I wouldn't be in the condition that I'm in. I'm trying to get God to turn over what I've already turned into because of myself. See, we always, it's the devil, but sometimes we're helping him. All he doing is got good folks cooking good food. Huh, that's all he doing. You got good folks cooking good food, you better be careful. I was telling Pastor Paul one time I had some food tastes like hospital food. And I was complaining. I was like, man, I didn't want that. I went home and got some Chinese food. He said, you know what? Your wife and kids can eat that Chinese food and that other stuff, but you ought to have been eating that food because that's why you got all them problems. You know, he was right. I said, I won't buy it myself and spend my own money on it, but my insurance company spend my money on it while I'm in the hospital because that's exactly what they give me. Pour it out the can and heat it up. But guess what? I had to take it if I was in the hospital. And they would give me that until I left. That's a strange thing. They give you all that stuff that you won't pay your money for of yourself. And then as soon as they get you well, they get you out, and you won't eat it no more. Sometimes you need that stuff that's unflavorful. Because of your flesh, you got to have a certain type. And you're killing yourself. But you got to learn. You got to learn to die to yourself, church. If we're going to move forward in 2020, we got to let some stuff go. And some of that stuff ain't going to want to let you go. Because the desire is still there. But if you're dead, that desire can't control you. I'd be able to walk right past the cake counter. I'm telling the truth. I got to walk past the cake counter. I got to be able to do it because I can't kill myself and call it the enemy. No, I'm the enemy. He's using me. I'll be laying in the grave, drop down, and somebody else will get up because of all that power. But I ain't had sense enough to use that power on myself. And that's what's going to happen to some of us because of our desires, because we won't die to them. You got to have that man and that woman. That desire is going to take you to hell. Because you ain't going to marry her, you just want her. Brothers, y'all know what I'm talking about. Sister, you already know he ain't going to marry you, so you're going to use that to try and get him. And that ain't going to work. You're going to go to hell for somebody who don't care about your God. But you will give yourself to him. But when you decease, you're no longer living. So, I've never heard of a person dead a desire controlled them. When you go to the funeral home, ain't nobody setting up talking about give me a drink of water. So when you decide to die in your flesh and give your heart to the Lord, you'll be able to say, no, I don't want that cake. I done had enough mashed potatoes because that stuff ain't going to do nothing but turn to starch, which is going to turn to sugar. I take a half a tablespoon, that's it. We got to learn how to say no, church. That's dying to self. Everything ain't spiritual like that. Some things are in the natural that you're using to destroy yourself, so you can't even get in the spirit. So going into 2020, church, as we move forward, we got to be ready to let some stuff go. And some of these things, it's going to be stuff that we enjoy. But if you don't die, you ain't going to never say no to it. And if you don't say no to it, it's going to kill you. We talk about folks jumping off buildings because stuff ain't working and doing all that. You might as well jump off a building if I'm going to keep eating cake. I might as well jump. If you're going to keep sleeping around, you ought to jump. But see, God has called us to do things in decency and order. Brother, if you want to do right, ask her to marry you. Don't keep stalling, waiting, but you still want your goodies. Do it right. Do it honorably. Wait. Make it holy. Say, God, I want you to do this thing right. I want you to do it right. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to go. But I was standing in a place where I was to, I can't even think of what I was in the drug rehabilitation center, counselor. Actually, I was the intake director. And before I got married to Sister Christine, they was having so many issues over there. I was like, I'm out of here. I packed my bag and I left. I'm over there at Sister Christine's. And so the person who was over me and covering, he called me. He said, he called me at work. He said, what are you doing, man? I heard you didn't spend the night there last night. What are you doing? I said, man, Pastor, I can't take that stuff going on over there. Those folks is crazy. He said, well, you need to go home. I said, nah. He said, you need to go home. That's what the director told me of that place. Then I wasn't really fully settled. So he called Pastor McGraw. And Pastor McGraw called me and said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I can't deal with that stuff. Well, he said, listen, let me tell you something. You need to go home. Because people, I got my hand on you and people watching you. See, a lot of times we put our hand on folk and folk ain't even got no integrity and we still stand by him. He said, you know what? If you can't do right, I got to let you go. He said, if you can't stand that over there, come stay with me. Yeah, he stepped up. He said, come stay with me rather than stay over there. I want you to be doing right if that's what it takes. See, some people got to care enough to call you up and get on your nerves. They got to tell you what you should be doing opposed to what you want to hear. They need to be lining up with the word and lining you up and letting you get your attitude and not caring. See, the truth is what sets us free. So I ended up going back and getting married and doing the right thing and been moving forward ever since. But see, I had to say no to my flesh. Even still, I have stuff I have to die to. Right now, I got to get charge of what I eat. Because what I eat is the God of my flesh. And until I die to my flesh, I'll have that God. But church, I'm moving forward. My God is the God of heavens. He's the miracle worker. He's the way maker. He's the light in the darkness. And I'm choosing God. So church, today I want to speak to you. I don't want you to bow your head. I don't want you to worry about who's sitting next to you. They need to see you make a decision. I've talked to God already, but if you got some things in your life that you need to die to in order that you live in Christ, it don't make nobody's business what it is, but it's God's business. So if you want to make that decision today, I want you to stand to your feet because we're going to pray that God loosen us from some stuff that we're holding on to. And sometimes we ain't even holding it. It's holding on to us. And we just can't shake loose. And because of it, we can't fully get in the spirit to get the type of power. See, they had prophets of old and apostles. All they do is walk into place. And your demon in your flesh start to cry out. They ain't even had to call it out because they had power. We got folks fornicating, homosexuals. They doing bestiality, fornicating. They doing everything sitting right next to you. And you ain't got enough of power in you to call it out of them. Because we still fall. But God wants to know today, church, are you willing to die so that you can live in Christ? That he could be fully manifested in you. So when you go to the workplace, folks falling out and going all crazy and don't know what's going on, they don't know what happened. But the Spirit came in. Sometimes it seemed like all type of confusion, but you walk in all of a sudden, peace. Folks don't know what's going on. Because you've been not just consecrated by what you've heard, but you've been consecrated in your spirit. God wants to do something in you that's going to make a difference. I'm not talking about something that you rule. I'm talking about something that can rule over you and your desire. Because right now, the desires of our flesh are killing us and causing us to be empowered. But if you want God's spirit today, to loosen you from something that's holding you. or that you holding, or that you yielding to, and it's going to one day kill you. And you hoping that you will have eternity with God. If that's you today, church, just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. We're going to believe God in this place. That God can be God. And every enemy can be destroyed. But I want to ask you something before that, church. About giving your heart to the Lord. I know there's somebody in here today. And the scripture in Romans 3:23 says, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all did it. We've all done something. We've all messed up and God had to forgive us. But I like John 1:12, but it says, "But as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." God wants to come into your life, and he wants to come in a way where you don't push him out. Because, see, sometimes we give our heart to God for a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, maybe even a couple of years. But somehow, over time, we continue to fill ourselves with stuff that push God out. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We need to deal with that first. Because if you don't give your heart to Jesus, it ain't going to matter. You've already committed suicide just by walking out this door. You may not even have another opportunity. So you want to make sure you know the Lord. So what I'm going to do, church, I'm going to pray and just believe God that he destroys the work in this place. The Bible talks about it to be in the scheme and the plan of the enemy to keep us and to destroy. You don't even know why it's happening. That's the scheme of the enemy to destroy you. And you don't even know it. You don't even know why that stuff happening. The enemy is just the desire to destroy you. Your desire is for your flesh. But his desire is to destroy you because you're not dead. And until you die, you're going to destroy yourself. And what you don't destroy, you will let somebody else destroy. And sometimes you need to have some self-control. Because you don't have self-control, God can't move because he don't want to move you aside. Sometimes we got to learn how to hold our mouth shut. And say, "God, if you don't say it and you don't do it, I don't want it to happen. I don't want to hear it. I want it to be God. I'm not looking for something magical. I'm not trying to make nothing happen. I want God to do it." So, church, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have declared in this place and made a decision, God, that when we go into 2020, we want to leave everything in 2019 behind us. Some things we've held to and some things they've held to us. Some things have broken in us. Some things have broken us down, have torn us up. And some things are still working in us. But Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would tear that thing from us today so that it cannot operate in a way that it will affect us. Because I'm not doing things on how I feel. My flesh don't control my decisions. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you give us the mind of Christ so that certain earthly things that worry us won't worry us anymore. You said in your word that you would give us the peace that would surpass all understanding. So I won't need a drink to give me peace. I won't need a cigarette or a drug to give me some type of euphoria in my mind to calm me, God. I won't need a pill. I bind that in the name of Jesus right now. Father, I loosen the liberty and the freedom of the Holy Spirit to revive us again, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would consecrate us, God, for your glory, God, that you would build us up in the most Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you would reverse the things that we have caused and the things that we've started with what we've done. God, that you would reverse it, turn it around in the name of Jesus. And God, when you turn it around, turn us around so that we don't turn back to it. God forbid you heal me and I give myself back to it. Then you heal me and we give ourselves back to it continuously. So, Father, let it be said and done. Let it be settled with us in the name of Jesus. We pray right now, God, that you would bind every spirit right now, God, that's operating out of authority of the Holy Spirit. Father, bind arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. Father, liberate those bones in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak now to the minds, God, that the enemy continues to bomb once and again with doubt and unbelief and worry. And what if that happened and this happened? But devil, we bind you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we release now your Holy Spirit in this place, God, that everything that's not of you would leave and be cast into utter darkness and never come back. In the name of Jesus. Father, launch us into 2020 to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.